Good day, Tokers and Tokettes. Radical Rest back here at the Cannabis Policy Summit at City University of New York. And joining me here at the desk, we have John Hudak from the Brookings Institute. How you doing, John?
Oh, pretty good, Russ. Thanks for having me back.
Yeah, we had you on the show just a little while ago talking about your latest white paper. Have you gotten a lot of great response off of that?
Oh, yeah, no, we've had some really great response from it here at the conference and around the country. People have really embraced an institution like ours, really engaging a policy area that typically think tanks aren't engaging, think tanks that are not advocacy organizations engaging. And so it's been really positive and something we're really proud of at Brookings.
You've been spending a lot of time researching this this issue, and now sitting in some of these panels here and hearing some other experts discussing the issue, do you find any points of contention, any disagreements, or does this fit along with what you've researched?
I mean, most of the disagreements we're hearing today are ones that are pretty dominant streams within the literature, within the discussion, within the broader conversation we have around legalization, whether it's for rec or for medical. What is, I think, the most enjoyable part, though, is all of these discussions, all of these disagreements are being done in a very respectful way. People aren't screaming at each other. People aren't Donald Trump. People aren't acting like it's D.C. They're acting like they want to find the right answer. You hear a lot of different people, and someone has the right answer. Not everyone here does, but people are talking to each other like professionals, and I think that raises the caliber of cannabis policy in general. When people are having these conversations as professionals, as advocates, as researchers, and not just as people throwing themselves with all of the passion and all of the talking points that I think characterize other debates.
Mm. As we hear a lot of these discussions, they are ranging on a number of policy options for ending marijuana prohibition, comparing Uruguayan models and Spanish collective models. Even some people were talking longingly about how we used to think of Amsterdam as such the wild child out there in Europe, and now it's almost quaint how they do things in Amsterdam. What are your thoughts on some of these different models, and do you think with such a capitalism-heavy American economy that they'd even be possible?
Well, I think one of the benefits we're seeing is that typically we think of U.S. states as being the laboratories of democracy, but in reality, we have the world now is a laboratory of democracy. We have so many different nations with different cultural dynamics, different personal dynamics, different historical trends, and now different cannabis policies. And one isn't going to be the right one. But you get to see bits and pieces because everyone is so different. Colorado is different than Washington, is different than Uruguay, is different than Portugal and the Netherlands. They're all attacking different problems sometimes, but they're doing it in different ways. And the best thing is we're learning from it. It's not just throwing away good models, or it's not just doing policy for the sake of doing it. We're learning a ton from these different models for good and bad, and that can only mean good things in the future.
I'm interested in the fact that we've got legalization now in four U.S. states and had it for over 3 years now in two of them. And so far, from what I've seen, we haven't seen a great increase in harm, if any increases in harm, and maybe even some reductions in harm from people, you know, not drinking and driving or not using OxyContin or pain pills when they can switch out medical cannabis. So a lot of these discussions, when they talk about these public policies being centered on the idea of protecting the public, I often wonder from what? Because have we seen any problems so far?
Yeah, so there's two points here. First, we haven't seen the sky falling dynamics that prohibitionists predicted would happen with legalization, whether it be medical or especially with recreational. And so I think in some ways, as a policy analyst, you look at that and you think, well, that's a positive thing. The worst case scenario hasn't borne out. There are some data that suggest there are positive benefits. There are some data that suggest it's a wash. But it is still critically important to note that when you're looking at policy outcomes and policy consequences, that longer-term views are better. So the sky hasn't fallen yet. It probably won't fall. But it's not to say that we shouldn't look at the data long and hard and make sure that there aren't things that need correcting. There's probably going to be things that need correcting. We've seen it a little bit in the states already, and there's going to be more down the road. It doesn't mean the policy's broken. It actually means the policy's working if you respond to these challenges with better policy reforms.
There's some consideration in the discussions I've heard so far about the fact that, you know, even now under the limited few states we've had with legalization, a lot of the dynamics of prohibition still exist. For example, the high price. And some of the concern is once you have a full national legalization and the economy of scale takes over and that prohibition risk is gone, prices crash, use goes up, and then the sky starts to fall. Is that a concern?
Well, I mean, that's certainly a concern, that prices fall and use goes up. But I think a lot of that perspective comes from this idea that marijuana isn't already in society. I mean, you can get weed for cheap if you want weed for cheap. You might not get it from a dispensary in Denver. You might get it from a guy down the street, but you're going to get it. So this idea that all of a sudden there are going to be this huge social change because all of a sudden there's inexpensive marijuana in America is totally distanced from reality. Like I said, there's cheap weed if you want it. You just have to know where to find it. Legalizing in Colorado and Washington and Oregon and Alaska isn't changing that.
All right. Well, that's some good perspective. We're getting, and one of the things I like about this event is we're getting lots of perspectives from different organizations that have different goals in this. And I think it's helpful for us to be discussing with each other. And like you said, in a professional manner. John, what's next for you? Is there another study or paper that you're working on?
Well, I'm happy to say that I just finished up edits on a book on the history of marijuana policy. It'll be out in the late summer, early fall. It's called Marijuana, A Short History. You can pre-order it on Amazon. It's a short read. It's a punchy read. It's not Brookings-style boring, I promise. I encourage everyone to pick up a copy.
I encourage you to do that too. And John Hudak from the Brookings Institute, brookings.edu. And what was that website for your most recent paper?
brookings.edu/marijuana mess.
There we go. Check it out, folks. Thanks, John.
Thanks a lot.